but it's the word of the Lord, and there are nuances here that are just so beautiful. Psalm 23, Gordy Showalter is going to read that for us.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. We're going to sing, Save Your Life, a Shepherd Lead Us. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for Nick Hill, Lord. We thank you just for the salute he's doing so well. And Lord, we just bless Nick in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for his witness to those young men on that team. And Lord, we pray you would just continue to give Nick wisdom and boldness and courage, Lord, not only as he coaches, but as he shares your love with those around him. Lord, just bless him in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Bonnie Williams, that she got a good report this week, that she's stable. And Lord, we pray that the rash that she has, Lord, that thing would go in Jesus' name. You would continue to keep her liver enzymes well and, Lord, her blood count. We just thank you for your healing, Lord, that you're doing there. And we just ask your mercy and your hand to continue to be upon Bonnie in Jesus' name. We bless her husband, Jerry. Lord, we ask peace on Jerry. And Lord, you would surround him with comfort and just your sustaining grace to be upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the parish family reunion, Lord, from just a few months old to 85 years old. Lord, we just bless that family. And Lord, we pray for the travel studs as they go down to Orlando to have a reunion. Father, I pray that you would bless their going out and their coming in, that you would surround them, Lord, with your peace, Lord, that no one would get COVID. Lord, just bless them in Jesus' name. We pray for just a good time. And Lord, we just ask your grace to be upon Dixie and Mike in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the person that's going to have a biopsy on Friday. Lord, we pray you would surround them with your comfort. We pray for a good report in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, be a shield. We pray that that person would be able to rest and sleep leading up to that biopsy. Lord, that they would be released. We pray, Lord, that those that have taken them captive, Lord, when Paul was in prison, the jailer was converted. And Lord, we pray that those who kidnapped, that they may come to know you, Jesus, that you would open their eyes to your beauty, to your love, to your salvation. We pray for their salvation, and we ask your mercy to be upon those kidnapped in Haiti, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Don Burmeister, Jesus, that you would bless him, that you would strengthen him, that your joy would be his strength. We pray peace on Shirley, Lord. We just thank you for them. And Lord, we just ask your mercy and grace to be upon Don and Shirley. We pray for Josie LaQuat, leaving for Japan on October 23rd. Father, we pray you would give Josie courage and boldness as she goes, Lord, to teach English. And Lord, I pray that she would have opportunities, that you would give open doors for her to share the gospel, that she would have courage, that she would have boldness. And we bless Josie in Jesus' name. We pray for Darlene, 25-year-old mama, who is on the vent with COVID. Lord, we pray that you would heal her, that she would live in Jesus' name, that her lungs would be strong in Jesus' name. We thank you for the baby that was delivered, Lord, and we pray that that baby would be strong and that baby would thrive and live. Lord, have mercy on Darlene and that baby in Jesus' name. We pray for Janet Wright and the death of her husband, Delmar. Father, we pray that you would bless her, just surround her, Lord, with your comfort in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Lord, we just speak your comfort over Janet in Jesus' name. We pray all of those that are suffering from COVID, Lord, that you would heal them. Their lungs would be strong, that there would be no lasting effects. You'd be a shield and a guard all around, Lord, this community, our teachers and our children, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would give your saints in this hour, that you would give us courage and boldness, that we would stand for you. We pray, Lord, we continue to pray for Judy Hicks's brother-in-law, Glenn, and her sister. Father, that you would bless and heal him from the trauma of that burglary attack. And Lord, we just speak strength for him and his wife, and that you would surround them, Lord, with your comfort, with your peace, and you would heal them from the trauma of what they've been through in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you're the Holy One, that you're the Righteous One, that you are the True One. Lord, that you are a shield all around about us, that you are our glory, that you are the lifter of our head, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that you are our shepherd. We honor you and we bless you. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. Lord, we offer it up to you as worship. Pray you'd bless the offerings for the furtherance of your kingdom, and you would bless the givers. Lord, may they overflow with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand and sing the doxology. perspective to truly understand it. And that's what I'm doing with this whole thing with presumption. If you missed the sermon last week, this is part two. I encourage you to go back and listen to that because it's so important. We walk in presumption and we don't even know it. Sometimes we're so steeped in it just as a culture, and just it's part of our fallen nature to do our own thing and do our own, you know, not even think about God and just kind of plow ahead and do what we want to do. And the mainline denominations, the last 30 years, that's kind of what our programming has been. It's like, well, let's do this and this and this. It's like, well, have we inquired of the Lord? No, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it. And that's presumption. And we get in trouble when we do that. And last week really looked at Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And how God views things very differently than we do. And so that's one way we walk in presumption. We look on the outside if somebody's good looking and, oh, well, we want, and Stan has talked about this as a district superintendent. Churches want a young 30-something pastor, married, three little kids. You know, this thing, when they list their pastor, that's what they want because that, you know, that's just what we want. Well, have you asked the Lord, what does the Lord want? And so sometimes what we want isn't what the Lord wants for us at all. So looked at that last week. And today, I really want to focus on what Gordy read for us, that there is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death. And what, you know, we lean on our own understanding. We just, whoa, I want to do what I want to do. This is the right thing to do. Let's go. And what happens when we do that? I want to look at two characters. I want to look at King Saul, and I want to look at Abraham and Sarah. When we get in a hurry, and we plow ahead, and we do what we want to do, we get in trouble. And the thing, one of the things I love about Scripture is it is full of men and women just like you, just like me, that fail. And yet God comes and he redeems them and he delivers them. There's mercy there for them. But we can learn from them so we don't have to, we can avoid those disasters if we will but heed. So I want us to look at that today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your love. And Lord, we want to learn from the men and women in your word to save us heartache, to save us from destruction. Lord, we don't want to learn the hard way. Lord, for those of us that have failed, I thank you, Lord, that with you there is forgiveness, the psalmist says. Therefore, you are greatly feared. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you're faithful when we are not. And Lord, I pray, I thank you, Lord, this is such a good word if we would but heed. So, Lord, I offer up to you my loaves and my fishes, what I've prepared. And Lord, I pray you would feed your people with fresh bread today. Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I pray, Lord, you would use me, you would flow through me, you would come, you would feed your people, you would anoint your word. May we encounter you today as the good shepherd that leads us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Shepherd of God, come. King of glory, come. Holy Spirit, come and anoint your word. Anoint me as your messenger, that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to spend more time on King Saul. So I'm just going to give a really broad just highlight of Saul. He's one of those characters in the Bible that really early on in my journey with Jesus, the Lord highlighted King Saul because I can relate to him in a lot of ways. And it put the fear of God in me, and it continues to do that. So we're going to look more at King Saul next week, Lord willing. But today, just briefly look at him and how he got in a hurry and how it cost him the kingship. It cost him everything. And what happened to him? First, Samuel, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to follow along because really want to contrast chapter 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 13 of Samuel. Just to give a review, why did the nation of Israel want a king? A couple weeks ago I talked about that. They wanted a king to be like everybody else around them. And that's not a good reason. And God concedes and doesn't want to do that. And God tells Samuel, Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. And they're looking, they want to be like other people. They're not interested in being my people. They want to be like the people around them. So God concedes and he gives them a king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says that this is what the people wanted. Soldiers are hiding. Saul's the king, the warrior. Samuel is the priest. Tells him to wait 7 days. I'll come to you. What does Saul do? He's afraid. Massive armies are coming. His soldiers are running away. What does Saul do? 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. God is often later than we want him to be, and Saul is in that predicament. He's in a tight spot. Samuel said he'd come. He's waited. Saul's looking around. He's looking at his soldiers running away. He's looking at his enemies coming. So, verse 9. Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he'd finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. Do you see the presumption in that? Do you see that? I said, the Philistines will come down against me. I've not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Ha! Saul got in trouble because he started reasoning in his own mind. Samuel's later than I thought. My enemies are gathering. I haven't sought the favor of the Lord. So therefore, I forced myself to offer this offering. Was that his position? Was that his job? No. Was that in direct violation of what the Lord had said through Samuel? Yes. Did Saul do it anyway? Yes. Because he let fear, he let his own understanding, he let his own reasoning come in and take place of what the Lord told him through Samuel. Wow. How many times do we do that in our journey with Jesus? We have a promise. We have a command from the Lord. But we start looking around. Oh, no, if I don't do that, I got to do this because of this. I would contend with you that most of the time when we make a decision in haste and we make a decision out of fear, most of the time, it's a wrong decision. There's a proverb, I'm going to cover that one next week, that talks about don't be hasty and miss the way. The enemy will always try to get us to live in anxiety. He will always try us to make a hasty decision. Those are not good decisions. And that's what happens to Saul. He lets the fear get the best of him. He lets his circumstances get the best of him. He's thorny soil. It chokes out the word of God in his life, and he's completely overwhelmed, and he does something in direct violation of what God told him to do. That was not his job, to offer a sacrifice, and he needed to wait, and he pushed through. What happens to him? Is it a big deal? No, that's not really that bad. Well, what's the word say? Verse 13 of chapter 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God, for then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. It cost him his kingship. It cost him his throne. And for some of us, if we run ahead with our own agenda, that we're not called to do, you all, it will cost us dearly, because that's not the lane that God's called us to be in. Some of us are control freaks. I'm going to talk about that later. We want to be in control. We're leaning on our own understanding. We're following what we think is right. What's the proverb that Gordy read today? There is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's what happens to Saul. People, we need to stay in our lane. We need to do what God's called us to do. We don't need to look to the right or the left. We should not be swayed by fear and things around us. It will bring destruction upon us. It's a harsh lesson, and it makes me shudder because, wow, in the church, modern-day church in America, we don't think that's a really big deal, but it is, and it cost him his kingship. I want us to look at Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis chapter 12, God gives a promise to Abram. Genesis chapter 12. God says this. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. He says, Abram, go, leave your land. And he says in verse 2, Genesis 12, verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he tells him, you're going to be a great nation. So if you're going to be a great nation, kind of make the assumption that you're going to have offspring, right? But Abram's already, and Sarai are already old. But God reiterates that promise to them in Genesis chapter 15. God comes and he says this, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, Lord, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. So God's promised Abram that he's going to, you know, have a child. And he's like, well, maybe I'll have a child through my servant, my servant. God says, no, out of your very own body, you're going to have a son. Like, whoa, okay, well, he's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. Women, it's not possible for us to have children when we're 90, is it? No. We're way, way past childbearing years at that point. And so Abram's like, okay, this is a promise. Okay, it's going to come from me. Whoa. Don't know how that's going to happen, but this is a promise of the Lord. So if you're Abraham and Sarah, you're probably going to discuss that, right? Well, I don't know how this is going to happen. Y'all, when we start talking, we tend to start extrapolating on things. And that's what Abraham and Sarah have done. And what does Sarah decide to do? Sarah's like, okay, well, God says that it's going to come from you. So, well, there's no way I can have a child. So why don't you sleep with my servant Hagar? She's reasoned this out in her mind. Genesis chapter 16. Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Do you hear the presumption? It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Has she asked the Lord? No. Does Abram say, you know what, wait a second, let's pray about this, Sarah? Does he do that? No, look at what he does. Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. So after Abram had lived and he goes in and Hagar gets pregnant, and y'all, it's not good. It's not good what happens, because both of them were presumptuous. If at any point Sarah'd be like, you know what, let's pray about this. This doesn't make any sense. Lord, this is your promise, but how is this going to happen? And inquire of him and ask? They don't do that. Sarah him doesn't say, Sarah, now let's pray about it. He said, okay, yeah, well, all right. And he goes and does it. Not once have they prayed about it, have they asked the Lord. You all, that is living in presumption. When we run ahead, when we have the promise of God, woo, I'm gonna do this on my own strength. I'm going to do this on my own reasoning. We try to figure it out, and we run ahead. And it caused heartache. Hagar, not good. The position that put Hagar in. Ishmael, not good. God ends up redeeming that for them. But that did not have to happen. That was not God's intent. And God comes to them after they've made this mistake. And God says in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God comes and there's mercy and there's compassion there for Ishmael. But God is so beautiful because God not only gave a promise to Abraham, but he gave a promise to Sarah as well. And if they had just inquired of the Lord and not run ahead, it's caused heartache for them. But the lesson for us is don't live in presumption. And what do we do? What do we do when we're faced with a situation like Saul? When we have a promise of God and yet everything else is saying, this isn't going to happen, this isn't going to happen. What do we need to do? You all, the lessons we need to learn from this is we need to stand on the word of God and not be swayed by what we see with our eyes. He's faithful and he's true. And when I read the stories in scripture, most of the time, God is later than we want him to be. But does he come through? Yes. We just need to wait on him and trust in him and not get hasty and stand. God gives us a promise that's completely impossible, like Abraham and Sarah. We don't lean on our own understanding. We don't need to reason it out. We don't need to figure out, okay, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. And most of us will sit and we'll stew and we'll think about it and we'll try to control the situation and try to make it happen. Is that a path of peace? No. Is that turmoil? Yes. James, I love this passage in James. James said, if any of you needs wisdom, ask. God won't call you stupid. He won't call you, he won't say, oh, you're silly. He will give you wisdom without finding fault. If Abraham and Sarah had just said, Lord, I don't understand. But Lord, give us your wisdom, would have saved them from having an Ishmael. It would have saved Hagar the heartache, would have saved all of that. We need wisdom. And I love the promise, and that's in James chapter 1. In James chapter 3, it says a little bit more about the wisdom that comes from God. James chapter 3. Let me find my scripture here. I laid my scriptures out earlier in a different way today. I won't do that because I thought it would help me, but it won't have. James chapter 3. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Isn't that beautiful? Some of us think that we're walking in wisdom, but it's actually really rude, or it's actually really shrewd. That is not wisdom from God. That is not wisdom. I'm going to read that again. When we need wisdom, it says, James chapter 1 says he'll give it to us without finding fault. And then wisdom that from above is pure, jump. God will rescue you. And he quotes Psalm 91 to him. Be presumptuous. Go ahead, jump off. God will save you. We need to listen to the voice of our Father. We need to walk with him and not lean on our own understanding, not try to reason it all out, but listen to the voice of God, not run ahead of him. What if we've sinned? What if we've done it? What if we run ahead? I would submit to you that a lot of us are living in anxiety and in turmoil because we haven't yielded our plans. We're doing our own thing. And the remedy is to yield. The remedy is to surrender. So I was praying about this sermon, and Lord, what's the point? What is it you want your people to do? I just heard the word unconditional surrender. You all, God, in this day, in this age, in this time, he is after our hearts. He wants us to yield to him. Our country is in the state that it's in because largely the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've run ahead of him. We're doing our own thing. We're doing what we want to do, the programs that we want to do, and God is after our hearts. In 2 Chronicles 7, when it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, my people, it's not the world, it's my people, what are those wicked ways that we need to turn from? I would submit to you the major one is presumption. Doing our own thing with our lives. Running ahead of him. Doing what we want, not what he wants. God is after our hearts. Isaiah 53 says that each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. This morning, Holy Father is after our hearts. If you are living in turmoil, if you are living in anxiety, if your life is out of control, and you just feel like, Lord, I don't know what to do. What do you do? Romans chapter 12. Offer yourself a living sacrifice. Lord, I can't do it anymore. I need you. I need you to be the shepherd of my life. I need you to come in. Forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for leaning on my own understanding. Come in. Forgive me and cleanse me and have your way in me. And he wants our unconditional surrender. He wants us to yield to him. And he wants your heart. Will we but yield to him? Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, that's what you want from us. You want our unconditional surrender. And Lord, I pray you would forgive us as a people and as a nation. The church in the United States, God, we have turned to our own way. Lord, we have called evil good. And Lord, we have run ahead of you. We've tried to control our own lives. We've tried to control other people. And Lord, we just turn to you and we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us. We thank you, Jesus, that you bore the penalty. And Lord, Saul got in trouble because he was looking around and he was afraid. And he got antsy. And he did what you commanded him not to do. And so, Lord, in a world full of turmoil and fear, I pray we would stand on your promises and stand on you. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what is going on, Lord, we thank you that your name is faithful and your name is true. And Lord, where Abraham and Sarah got in trouble, Lord, they tried to reason it out. You wanted to do a miracle for them, and they tried to do it in their own strength. They tried to reason it out. They tried to control and manipulate it. And Lord, it was